All right, greetings from Jindal. This is Jody Havnat. I'm sitting here with my boys.
Clintown.
And D-Rock.
Hell yeah, we're finally back together for a Strange Ways podcast. The three of us. Three amoebas. So how's it feel? What's up?
It's crazy. It's been a while.
It has been quite a while. And feels pretty good. Feels pretty good.
Yes.
So this episode, we're just going to answer a bunch of questions from the fans, right?
Yep.
Right. So let's just start it right up. We'll start with the first question that was posted. This one's coming from Andrew Kiss for us, and he wants to know, what musical direction would Kiss have taken had Ace not left the band? Do you think it would have radically altered had Vinny not joined the band? So basically, what do you think it would have sounded like had Ace stayed in the band through, like, you know, Creatures, Lick It Up, you know, on forward? I think right off the bat it would be way different, you know?
Yeah, I don't even think there would have been any of those albums.
Right, I mean, it's way different. I think that, I don't know what would have happened, because I don't know if Ace would have really fit on top of songs like Exciter or...
Yeah,
but would they really have... I don't know if they would have went in that direction.
Yeah,
what do you guys
think? I don't
think
they would have, because I don't think any of the albums, you know, like Revenge or any of that, you know, where they tried to get heavy and, you know, and evil and shit, I don't think any of that ever would have even happened, you know, because their sound wouldn't have changed dramatically, you know, so, you know, they wouldn't have had all those wild ideas because of other people's sounds and inputs coming in from the different members on, you know, changing the direction of their music.
Right.
You know?
But then, you know, by the other token, we might have got some cool shit like Rock Soldiers, like the the Fraley's Comet shit.
Yeah.
That with Kiss would have been awesome.
Yeah.
You
and
know?
It's not...
Right.
And it's not old Kiss either.
No.
It's still cool.
It was
cool,
different.
Though.
It was way different than Kiss, but
right.
It was still cool, like you
yeah.
said. So I don't know what would have happened. I think,
love the first album.
I do too. I think that it could have been good. I, you know... I think
well, it still would have been Kiss, and we still would love it. But I don't think, you know, a lot of their sound that they have, you know, over the years would have been, you know, like
been,
all the flassy shit, you know, with St. John.
Yeah, I think it would have been radically different. But I don't know, it might have been better. I prefer Ace's leads to Mark St. John.
Well,
I think Ace over anything.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I've said it. I think Gene and Paul, that was the plan, was to phase those guys out because they wanted to, you know, keep being huge all
right.
through the 80s.
And
so
stay
they wanted to.
And modern and shit.
You know, they wanted to keep up with, like, Van Halen and,
Rat, Motley Crue,
all those guys.
All that shit. Yeah, so you kind of needed a shredder in those days.
Yeah.
But, you know, Ace shreds.
Yes.
But
that's
just
true.
A,
I still
in a
think
different
Ace
kind of way.
In a more preferable way
money.
To me.
To me, too.
But.
Yeah, but at the time, Ace might have just seemed a little, like, old-fashioned compared
maybe.
To...
Maybe.
I don't know. I think,
the, like,
yeah.
I think he could have adapted, yeah. though, and I still think he could have adjusted his style enough to where he could have... fucking really pulled out some awesome shit to keep up with these guys.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, Rock Soldiers, I mean,
Fraley's
Comet. The first album.
It's just as good as anything by Rat or any of those.
Oh, yeah.
Bands.
I mean, I loved that album.
And I didn't look at Ace
still
as being like.
Album.
Yeah. And Ace didn't seem like he was behind the times.
Right.
Next thing you know, he's got that fucking Wonder Bar on his fucking Les Paul.
Yeah.
You know? Yes. It was cool. I think it would have been fine. That's a pretty good question. That's what I guess we think about that one, right?
Mm-hmm. Yo, yo.
Let me see what this next one is. Okay, the next one's coming from Jim Ruthie Spees, another guy who's been on the roll call many
heard
a time.
Of that guy.
Right. Okay, he says, we've all heard about Eddie Van Halen wanting to join Kiss, but what do you think the music would have sounded like? Heavier? Would have sounded like 1984? He also wants to say he's looking forward to another great year of covers from us, so that's cool. But, Kiss with Eddie Van Halen, I say thumbs down.
Yeah, I don't think it would have even happened. I think they may have gotten together and rehearsed or played, you know, jammed together or whatever. And
well, you know,
all on the end, Gene and Paul would have, or yeah, Gene and Paul would have just been like, I think we made a mistake. You know,
yeah,
cause
I
he's
mean,
so fucking far out there, guitar wise. You know, it wouldn't have matched.
Wouldn't have fit.
He couldn't have been able to play the Kiss style at all.
It, he wouldn't have fit just like Vinny didn't fit or Mark St. John. You know
right.
what I mean? It's a different school of rock and roll, and it's just. I'm one of those people. I don't love Eddie Van Halen. I just
yeah.
don't. You know.
That's I mean, he's known.
He's great
to,
at what he's what he does. I just don't like what he does.
Yeah, I mean, he's known to be a dick and a fucking alcoholic and like hard to work with,
dying of cancer
and all of this shit,
beating the shit out of Valerie Bertinelli. How in the hell can you beat the crap out of her, man? She's so fucking hot.
Yes.
I don't know. I bet she probably wanted Eddie to dress up like Schneider. I don't know, but I just never. Been a big fan of the noodling on the guitar bullshit.
Not either.
I mean, it was all cool when I first heard it. Like, wow, you could do this on a guitar, but
yeah, but
it get old real quick.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta have some kind of awesome melody. You can play a million guitar solos, but without the rest of the shit,
what is it? I mean, that was basically 80s rock.
Right. So I'm really glad.
As far as like hard rock or heavy metal or whatever goes.
Yeah. I think Eddie could have done some pretty cool shit over the top of some of that shit on Animal Eyes or something, you know? Because Mark St. John and even the shit that Bruce ghost tracked, it's still just ripping all over the damn place.
Yeah.
So Eddie might have given it a little more direction. I don't know.
Yeah, it just.
You know, the whole thing that he supposedly wrote on Christine 16 fits perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But that doesn't sound like Eddie Van Halen whatsoever.
Right.
So if he got in the band, I don't know.
Right, well, he wasn't supposed to be Eddie Van Halen in that. You know, it was supposed to mimic what Ace would have done. You know, so...
Well, right.
You know, so that's not saying that that's how he would have played if he joined Kiss.
True.
He was doing that to cover,
yeah.
You know, another band member, you know, because apparently he wasn't showing up and covering his own ass.
Well, yeah. But... Even worse, what would happen if, like, Eddie gets in the band and the next thing you know, it's like songs like fucking Jump with the fucking lame synthesizers.
Right, yeah.
You know, it would have been terrible for Kiss.
Yeah.
You know, and they ended up doing it, what, 3-4 years later on Crazy Nights, I guess.
But yeah.
That's the Kiss ways. You know, be a few years behind at times. Except it's like as soon as the makeup came off, they're all of a sudden always... couple years behind, you know, when before they were a couple years ahead of everybody.
Yeah,
I don't understand how that all works, but it does. So I think that's enough on that one. I think that answers that one as far as from our opinion.
Like Eddie's reputation as being like hard to work with two guys like Gene and Paul that are like intelligent in so many more different ways, and then they're not like alcoholics or druggies and shit like that.
That's an atomic
situation. They're really smart dudes and really talented people besides just Kiss, you know what I mean?
In everything they do.
Yeah, so it's like, I mean, Eddie's kind of like a flop.
He would have been like another Ace.
You know, really.
He would have fucked it all up.
What's Van Halen doing?
He's like the illegitimate child.
Yeah.
But... You know,
I don't think it would have been that cool to have Eddie at all. Do you think that he would have at the time? It wasn't like 78, I guess.
Yeah.
But I guess if he would have came in when he
came
in,
don't get me wrong. I like Van Halen, and I
like a couple songs here and there, but I don't have any of their records.
Well, me either. You know what I mean? Like the old classics, off of. Like
the first couple records.
Couple albums, you know.
And a bunch of songs off 1984 are great.
Right. Yeah. You had that album.
Yeah, when we were kids. Yeah.
I had the, David Lee Roth solo.
I had that, too. Both of them.
Yeah, I had the Skyscraper and Eat 'em and Grin.
That's the one terrible. I had, the first one.
Those shit sucks so bad. You put that on now, you can't
the
even
The only reason I got those, though, is because it had Steve Vai.
Yeah, but one thing you can say about Kiss, like, I can put on Crazy Nights from the same... from the same time frame, and I can listen to it, but I couldn't put on Eat 'em and Smile and listen to the whole album. There's no way. There's no fucking way.
Yeah.
It's just
most of that
stuff.
It's
terrible,
really.
Dude. I mean, it's all so fucking terrible.
Yeah, most of that stuff from the.
I can't believe that any of that shit ever even made it on radio, honestly.
Well, it did because they got Steve Vai, and Steve Vai was the new up and coming.
I mean, the Yankee Rose and all
boy,
that.
You know, so.
You know, he was riding the crest of Van Halen.
Plus the...
Like, California Girls, video... You know, he had cool videos. You can say that much for fucking David Lee Roth, but that's about it, as far as I'm concerned.
David Lee Roth is a douche.
I think that we were just a little too young, because a lot of people, like, worship that era of Van Halen, like, the early shit, but I was too young. I missed the boat, dude.
Oh, dude, back, like, maybe I mean, up until really recently, I mean, Van Halen has been a big deal in St. Louis. They're huge here.
So was Sammy Hagar.
Yeah, and Sammy Hagar is still huge.
Real huge. I don't understand any of it.
But
I just don't get it, bro. I just don't understand what it is, but it's always been like that around here.
Yeah, this is a Van Halen town.
Yeah,
for sure.
Big time. All right, so
what are we waiting for?
Let me give you another question. This one's coming from Michael Wood. Okay, and he wants to know how big would Kiss have been if had they had how big would Kiss have been if they had moved to a bigger label early on and not had the benefit of Neil Bogart's patience and singular focus. So basically, how big would Kiss have been without Bill O'Coin managing them? I'd say not that big.
Yeah, I think they would have stumbled and made a lot of mistakes along the way that would have been irrecoverable.
I don't know.
You know, well, unless they had somebody that had that much patience to say, okay, you fucked up, but come on, guys, get it together. Let's move here. Other people would have just been like, all right, I'm done
but
with
you. But do you think, okay, yeah. So, you know, say Bill O'Coin didn't go find them at that show and give them, you know, 2 weeks to find them a record deal. I think someone else would have signed them eventually. I don't think
I think so, too, because, I mean, when you think about, I mean, whether or not they would still be, you know, out there or not, I don't know. They probably would be, because Gene and Paul, they're two, they would have done it on their own if you know what I'm saying?
With or without a coin, I think the drive of Gene and Paul would have.
I agree, man. And even Ace and Peter at the in the early days.
Yeah.
You know?
When they were a fucking unit.
Dude, because those first half a dozen albums.
But you can't discount a coin's fucking. I mean, he's the one who pushed them.
Right.
He's the one who got him to do all the cool shit. The fire and everything.
Yeah.
The blood, the big stage, the levitation machine, all that. All that came from Bill O'Coin and Sean Delaney.
Oh, yeah!
So it's like, I don't know. They may. Who knows, man? I think they would have been big, but maybe not quite as big.
Maybe that's another.
Because who knows? They might not have thought of
the
fire.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine if Gene Simmons never did fire?
Yeah, that would be fucked
up. Or spit the blood.
He might not have that like readily identifiable persona that he has today.
Right.
Because if he didn't do that, he wouldn't. That's a big part of Gene Simmons, the fire and the blood, dude. I mean,
yeah,
you
I mean,
know,
he
especially
was into
when you're a
theatrics anyway and stuff. I don't know.
I don't know.
All that stuff was like someone else's idea. I mean, I'm sure some of it was.
No,
like,
Bill O'Coin came in and was like, look, I got this idea for a stunt. And, you know the story. Who wants to do it? And everyone else, I don't know. Anyway, Gene got stuck with it. He thought that they were saying, who doesn't want to do it? So he raised his hand or something. Sure. I forget the exact way it's told, but you know what I'm saying? It was all Coin's idea. And all that shit, you know? Him and Delaney, I mean, they were as big of a part of it as Gene and Paul were, you know?
Yeah.
To the original idea of Kiss. So I don't think they... I don't know, man. It's a tough call. I think they would have been big, but maybe not as big. That's what I'm going to say. What do you guys think?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Tough call on that one.
Maybe you're right.
Yeah, that's a trip.
Mean, Gene and Paul definitely. I can't imagine them going in anywhere but up.
Right.
But,
yeah, they
know,
were gonna
back
do
then,
it.
They were
one way or another.
They were unstoppable, and like, I don't think anything was gonna stop.
Yeah, the other side of the coin is okay. What if Kiss would have had their same drive, and they already had the makeup and shit? So then they didn't have the fire and blood. So maybe then the critics wouldn't have. Thought of them as like a fucking joke band, so they might have got some kind of critical, you know, whatever it's called,
acclaim.
Yeah, but that's just the other side of the coin. I don't know, but I'm gonna stick with. I don't think they would have been quite as big without a coin. I don't see.
Yeah,
I don't think so. Yeah. He had his history, you know, in TV and everything else before he even fucked with Kiss. So I mean, he was like, you know. He had his shit together.
Yeah,
he really pushed those guys.
Yeah, I know.
And financed the shit.
Yeah, he pretty much put all everything on was on him.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I'd say that they wouldn't have been as big. But we're going to move on to the next one. This is coming from our boy Danny Silvers, all right?
Yes!
He says, pick two events in history, one you consider cringeworthy, embarrassing, or wish they hadn't done or said, etc., and therefore would erase, and one you consider vital and most important and wouldn't change for anything. So two events in history, one you wish they would never have even fucked with, and the other that you would never change for anything and you consider vital? What you got, D-Rock? Or what you got, Clinton? Let's go with the worst cringeworthy things first. What do you think's the worst thing they've ever done that you wish you could erase from history?
That's a tough call.
There's quite a few of those. Right off the top of the head, a quick one is like the Hawk fucking outfit. It's just so fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. I'd have to agree with that.
The feathers. And they didn't really actually use it, but we've all seen it. And it's just like, how could they even have thought that would have been cool? I mean, it's horrific. How much yours as far? I'm still thinking, but that just comes to the top of my head. What you guys got is so cringeworthy.
Actually,
some cringeworthy
mine,
moments.
I would have to say, is seeing Gene come out wearing leather pants with high top tennis shoes playing a pink fucking bass guitar. Yeah. That is just wrong. He's the demon, and then he comes out looking like a fucking reject from fucking the Barbie show. You know? Go back to the
just
dream
go ahead
house,
and say dude. The entire asylum period, then.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I was going to say that, but since he said that one, I'm going to say, wasn't it, what tour was it when they were in St. Louis and we seen him and Gene's like, all right, Kansas City.
That was the 2000 farewell tour.
Yeah. I was like, I cringed.
That was very cringeworthy.
I cringed Everybody when he did. Said that. I was like, ah, oh, you fucker.
That was Gene's birthday that day, too.
Yeah.
It was like his 51st birthday or something. Yeah. It was funny because Paul's like, dude, we're in St. Louis. And you can hear him say it. And it was just after he fucked up live, you know, on their first song, too. He fucked up in Detroit.
Right.
You know, and hit the low E instead of the high, you know, and it rang out real loud, noticeable. And you
brutal.
Could, right when the camera guy went up on him, you could see him just let go of the bass, cross his arms, and mumble the word fuck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's why, like, if you, after, like, it seems like I've seen pictures of their stage and shit like that. It always has the city real big over where James did.
Yeah, so he doesn't
on
forget.
The set,
yeah.
But now it's all computer monitors and shit.
Like the teleprompter you made.
Yep.
Okay, so that's good enough for the cringeworthy. What's one thing that you just think was so fucking cool in history that you would never, you consider vital or, you know, that you would never change? What you got? That's a tough one because there's a lot of really cool ones. But it's vital. If you're going to say something vital to KISS, I would say the first thing that comes to my mind is probably KISS Alive. I mean, that's what really broke it open for everybody.
Right.
And it's a kick-ass document of rock and roll. I don't care that they went back and doctored it up. It's not a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
It's just simply one of the greatest rock and roll albums, live rock and roll albums of all time.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yes.
So that's one of those vital KISS things in history to me that I wouldn't really change, I don't think. What about you guys? What you got?
Yeah, I was
what
thinking
got?
That. Or
there's a lot of them, though. I mean, you could just go with simply the makeup. It's vital to KISS, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say the theatrics.
Right.
You know, they have to, like, you know, bringing back to what you had said earlier, they have to keep the theatrics. Because that's what really caught everybody's eye, besides the makeup, you know, in the first place. You know, and it just would, like, you know, you said earlier, it wouldn't be a KISS show without seeing Gene breathe the fireball or spit the blood or go flying up in the air under the stage up above, you know.
Yeah.
During God of Thunder, you know. It, so all that shit is, like, what people go to see. You know, besides the awesome music, they go to see the theatrics.
Right.
You know,
I mean, a KISS show is not like any other show.
Yeah.
That's why
it's
right.
a show.
I mean,
you know?
People, I've been to KISS shows with people who've never been to a KISS show, and they were like, "Oh my God, that was awesome!"
Yeah, hell yeah.
You know, I mean,
you really can't beat KISS live.
Yeah, once you see them live,
there's
I mean,
no
I've
other
heard
show.
People actually say. Now I understand.
Right,
you know,
get some
just
converts.
Like that.
It's like people know? Can say, "Oh,
like,
I really like KISS," but you take
like
them to
Grossman.
A concert and they're blown away.
Yeah, I remember
all
when Grossman
KISS, you know,
finally came out.
All them guys.
Yeah, that was the Second Cities tour of the reunion, the second time in St. Louis.
That Jackie chick, I took her to a KISS concert. She was like, "Oh my God, I totally get it now."
Fuck yeah, dude. All right, so we're going to move on to the next question, man, so we can get these all in, all right?
Yes.
This one's coming from our girl, Kelly Wagoner. You guys probably recognize that name, huh?
Yeah. Of course.
She's always on that roll call.
What's up, sweetie?
She says, you think we'll get a book from Tommy and Eric after Gene and Paul are gone and the confidentiality agreements are null and void?
I don't think so.
I think we will.
I don't.
Why wouldn't they write a book?
Because once it's done and it's over with, I think... You know, they're just going to let it be done and over with.
There's no way in hell. You're so wrong.
No, I meant as far as, like, writing the books and stuff. I mean, because that's...
I'm surprised they don't have a book right now. With or without a confidentiality
agreement.
Well,
that's what I'm saying, though. But, I mean...
You know?
If they're going to wait until it's all over and done with, I don't see it happen.
I do. I think, especially once Kiss is over and Gene and Paul retire... gonna be like a land grab for Kiss, dude. There's gonna be books, there's gonna be movies, it's like how the Beatles are, you know. There's gonna be all this shit just perpetually forever, and all the Kiss fans will grab it all up, you know what I mean? Like any kind of Beatles shit that comes out that hasn't been seen, all Beatles freaks have to have it. Same thing with us Kiss freaks, you know.
Yeah.
They want to put some new shit out, we're gonna grab it. If Tommy writes a book, I'd probably read it.
But I don't
Eric wrote a book
because
read that
be
first.
Able to make
money
on it.
I don't know. I mean,
Gene and them own the name Kiss. You know, mm-hmm. They wouldn't be able to write anything about Kiss because, you know.
No, you can write about your own experiences in whatever band you played in.
Yeah, but
I would see maybe that happen.
They could do that
as far
now,
as them
though, if they wanted.
That's
talking
what I'm saying.
About the band, you know, but, the name of the band. I don't see.
I mean, as far as I say, I mean, when it all comes down to it. I mean, Tommy and Eric I'm sure they're all friends and
right.
stuff like that. But dude, they're making money doing this. They're
right.
they're
it's a,
like
it's a gig.
Yeah, it's a gig for them, and you know, it works out because they're really good.
Yeah.
They
it's great.
Fit in great.
Yeah.
You know.
I think she's trying to
I mean, they went to, you know, from like 80s, 90s Kiss, and then they, you know, they're basically trying to recreate old Kiss with more, you know,
yeah.
old...
With more tech behind it, you know?
Yeah, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but...
I think I do.
But anyway, you know, whatever, because that's what sells, and, like,
yeah.
Ace and Peter couldn't hack it for whatever reason.
Right.
You know?
But I think what she's asking is, do you think that, like, some book by Tommy or Eric will... You know, once this confidentiality agreement is null and void, you think you'll get some scathing, you know, book about Gene and Paul, about how they're fucking assholes, and fuck these guys, and blah, 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 blah. I don't think so. I don't think it...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. I
you gotta figure Eric's been, you know, either playing with these guys or employed by Kiss for over 20 fucking years.
Yeah.
They're like brothers, bro.
Yeah.
I guarantee they get along.
Well, You know, that's what I'm saying.
Even if it's, like, officially his boss, Gene and Paul.
Yeah.
You could still be friends with these motherfuckers.
That's
like,
true.
You know.
You got a point.
So, I don't know.
I agree that they're probably all get along. Yeah. I mean...
It's hard to not get along when you're making that much money.
Yeah, I mean... But, I mean,
like
if they didn't like it, they don't have to stick around. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly.
So, I mean, they like what they're doing.
Fuck
it's a good
gig. How could you not?
Yeah.
Especially on Tommy's end. He grew up being a Kiss fan. He played in the fucking tribute band.
Yeah.
Well,
now
plus
he's
also
on the big,
Ace's guitar tech. You know,
right.
If Ace forgot how to play a song, Tommy was the one who showed him how to play it
right.
again.
Well, everyone knows that. Yeah, so it's cool for him, man. He loves life. It'd be like one of us being in Kiss. It'd be awesome.
Right.
You know, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Oh,
I'd wear Ace's makeup for the money.
Yeah.
You know? Just to be in Kiss, it'd be awesome. So anyway, yeah, that's what I think about that question. Our boy Joseph Anthony Polo from, you know, Podcast Rock City, he wants to know, if you had to pick one song to get on stage and play with the band, what would it be? So you get to go up and jam with them on one song. What's it going to be?
Wow.
That's a tough
Black
one.
Diamond.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You're going to play bass on Black Diamond or what?
Yeah.
And sing?
Probably.
You
if
should.
I had the opportunity
yeah, I mean,
to, I would do both. I'd get up and play it on bass and sing it.
See, I think it would be cool. Awesome. I wouldn't mind. I'd have to pick a couple because I'd want to play drums on something. Maybe Black Diamond just to go up on a fucking riser, you know? But as far as guitar, I would have to pick an old school classic one. And I would make it one that they don't usually do, you know, just because who doesn't want a different Kiss song in the Kiss set, you know? That's a tough choice, man. I'd probably get up and jam like something that's going to make all the Kiss fans go nuts, like something off The Elder that they haven't done. You know, they recently did The Oath and all that shit, but, you know, what if you broke out, like, Escape from the Island and just fucking ripped it? But every Kiss head would go ape shit. So I might go with something like that. You do I Stole Your Love. I know you motherfucker.
I would.
Or I Still Love You, maybe.
I don't know if I could. That one would be a tough one.
Oh, yeah, we got to put the little...
On the spot there.
Right. But, in this fantasy, you can actually do all the stuff that you would be required to do, I guess.
Oh, well, then maybe.
Right.
But, dude, I like I Want You, man.
I love that song.
Yeah, that's a great song.
I mean, like I said, Alive 2 was my first album. So, like, everything on Alive 2.
Right.
You know, that was, like, a greatest hits for the era or whatever.
Right. Fuck yeah,
sort of, you know what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
Like a compilation of their hits or whatever of the time, and a couple of classics like they do, you know, whatever. But, yeah, I mean,
I want you, that'd be awesome. Would you do the big ending like on Alive 2 and get the crowd going? And,
I don't know.
Yeah,
if
you could, would.
Like, somehow edit some crowd in there, maybe...
No, you'd be doing it on stage.
No, this, yeah, this is like a fantasy thing.
I was thinking if we did that, if we recorded
if we were to cover it, yeah,
we'd probably we'd have D-Rock cheering. Yeah. Just D-Rock.
You.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. Joseph. Joe's got like a. It's a two-parter. The other part is Ace or Peter. Who you getting wasted with? One of the two. I'm going with Ace.
I love Ace. Yeah, I think Ace too. I think
he seems like he would be a fucking trip.
You wonder what his trip is.
Laughing, because just him laughing makes me bust up laughing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It'd be cool to get all high with Pete and Chris, I guess, but you have to picture it, this is going on in the 70s. I mean, I don't want to get high with some old man right now.
Right.
I'd be afraid my shit would fucking put him on the floor. Yeah. But yeah, it's Ace for me all day. I mean, I'm Mr. I love Ace, so of course it's going to be Ace for me.
Yeah.
And, okay. So that was a pretty quick and easy question. Now, here's our boy Ben Mitchell. Yes! Now, this is basically like a fucking little essay. So I'm going to just try to pick out the questions that are contained within, all right? So, right off the bat, out of all the Kiss songs you guys have recorded, which one was the most technically challenging?
Cosmic.
I'd say Lover All I Can. That one, because of the drums, man. It took me and D-Rock to do the drums on that one.
And I would have to go with A Million to One.
A Million to One?
Yeah, because, I mean, you had to play the guitar, and at the same time, I had to face,
right.
You know, the guitar in and out.
Yeah, but that wasn't that big of a deal. So. I don't know.
But, I mean, as far as being a pain in the ass, I would have to say yours was correct because, you know, that drum fill in the middle is actually me and Jody, you know, doing the drums on that, you know.
I think the one I had maybe the toughest time with was maybe, it seems like Charisma. Like,
yeah.
It was like a real fucking pain in my ass.
Right.
For some reason.
Well, it was not one of those weird ones that you liked that much.
Right, it's so
like, remember when I said, dude, we're going to do Charisma, you were like,
instead of my, you know.
Charisma, all right.
Yeah.
It turned out pretty cool, though.
And pronouncing the words, you know, instead of saying my, you had to say ma.
Right.
You know, it was easy to forget, so we had to keep going back and redoing tracks.
Well, yeah, it was just, it's a sort of an oddball, sort of a weird song.
Yeah.
I mean...
They all have their challenging moments. But,
Dynasty wasn't one of my big albums.
Yeah, me either. When I got that one as a kid, I listened to it a couple times. you know, here and there, but nothing like I used when I used to get the other ones. They'd go on the turntable and stay there.
Right.
I just didn't like Dynasty that much by the time I had gotten it. But, okay, so here's another question for you guys. Okay, Ben asks, if you had to choose a Kiss album to never listen to again, which one would it be?
Oh, jeez. Well,
I'll tell you right now, it's Carnival of Souls. I ain't never going to listen. Well, no. Actually, I'd probably say Alive 3. I would never listen to that again.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of them that I
would never listen to again.
I don't really listen to anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of them that... I mean, I don't even have a lot, some of the newer stuff, but...
You're not missing much, brother. What about you, D-Rock?
I'd have to agree with the Kiss Live 3.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
I wouldn't listen to it. I mean, I listened to it, like, maybe three times.
Is that the Symphony
one or whatever? No, that's the one that... It's, like, Bruce and... it's the Revenge lineup, basically.
Oh, yeah.
It was alright, but it's just... I never listened to it. Never, ever.
I listened to it, like, three times.
Even when it was new, I never really listened to it, you know?
Right.
Just, I don't know. It's just not for me. Let's see. Have any of you guys ever breathed fire?
Yes.
I have.
Jody has.
Many a time. You guys have breathed some fire?
No.
You know. I actually burned down some barn when I was a kid breathing fire. That's because I was using gasoline.
You and Chris Connors?
Yeah, Chris Connors and me. I had this jar, like a mason jar full of gasoline, and I'm fucking breathing fire out in this barn, and like a little flick of it, like when I breathed it out, some of the little flames flicked right into the jar, and the whole fucking jar was like, woof! Next thing you know, we're in like this inferno, and all this hay is immediately just like, whoosh.
Yeah.
We ran out of there, and no one got hurt, but man, oh man, I got in serious trouble for that one.
Yeah,
you know. But it was all for rock and roll, you know.
Yeah, I've breathed some friggin' stinky feet and stinky herbs. Some stinky butts, but no fire.
All right. Okay, Ben Mitchell's got a bunch of questions on here. Here's another one. He wants to know... he basically says he thinks, like, some of the Kiss lyrics are so cheesy and funny, and that Paul's raps, like, stage raps are hilarious.
It's like a buffet.
But does he... he wants to know, do you think that Kiss realizes they're being fucking hilarious? Or are they just being themselves, and they're not trying to be funny, and it just is funny? I think
I don't know.
I think Paul knows when he's being funny because he's fucking hilarious.
I think Paul
that's true. I mean, you see like interviews with Gene and Paul, and Paul is pretty damn funny.
Yeah, Gene's pretty funny too when he wants to be.
Paul does it on purpose more than anything. You know, you can tell when he's being funny to be funny. But Gene, I just think this. He's, I want to say naive in a way that he doesn't realize that. He's that retarded.
they might,
you know,
be
what I mean?
I don't know, like,
I mean, for Gene, I think it's not on purpose, you know, but Paul, you can tell he's doing it on purpose, you know, and he's making a joke, but Gene's just,
it's just kind of incidental.
Yeah. I mean, Paul's stage stuff, like back in the 70s, was a lot cooler than
it is now.
It's like,
I liked it in the 80s when he would tell those fucking filthy stories.
Yeah, even up like till Animalize and stuff.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. Even probably like when we've seen him, I don't remember like.
He's always cool.
Like, except for like, I see like
modern day
stuff from
brutal.
Him live now. I'm
terrible.
Like, what is?
It's like he's out of touch. I don't.
Yeah,
know.
I don't know what it is. I don't know if he's trying to like recreate like new old stage raps or like if he's like
what he's got going.
Like trying to just follow through with his what he does, or
I don't know what he's doing, but he should stop.
I mean, it's weird. It's like uncomfortable almost.
Yeah, like on that Access TV thing.
Yeah, that was
brutality.
Yeah, I couldn't hardly watch that shit.
Yeah, it was terrible. Okay, Ben Mitchell also wants to know, hey, did Paul start surfing in the 80s? Why did he put body glove stickers all over his guitars? I think that I don't know why he was so obsessed with body glove, but I think that was just a fad for rockers
that started off, you know, from like a Living Color.
Dude.
All they did was wear the surfer one pieces, you know.
Yeah, he's probably wearing swatches too. You know,
swatches were cool though. Body glove, they were cool.
I had every swatch ever made.
I don't know. I never had either.
I can't imagine. What if you would have came to school in one of those yellow body glove like shorts? Outfits.
I don't know.
The one piece surfer outfit.
Like,
looks like a wrestling
outfit.
But yeah, that's hilarious. The Ben Mitchell, man, that's funny. He's got a bunch more questions though, so we're gonna keep it rolling. All right. He says after the reunion tour with Ace and Peter, Eric rejoined the band, but Bruce did not. Do we know why? He goes, maybe he didn't want to put on Ace's makeup and preferred the Spaceman. Now that I think about it, it's kind of weird that Eric put on Peter's makeup. What do you think?
I really don't know. I mean, I don't know the story.
I don't know.
It seems like Bruce would have fit in the best at that point. I mean, he had... You know, he just had his own identity as himself. Yeah.
I don't think he wanted
to. I don't think he wanted to put on any makeup to try to cover up who he was, you know.
And maybe it was just coincidence that, you know, Tommy was there and, you know, he
That's what I was going to say. Like, after the reunion, Bruce went his separate ways and Tommy was just there.
Well, I think maybe Bruce felt how to play this shit.
Yeah, he...
And they knew that he looked cool in the makeup because they'd seen his tribute band, I'm sure.
Well, plus I think maybe Bruce felt like they were trying to push him into Ace's shadow. By putting on the makeup.
That's what I'm saying.
You know?
Like Bruce had his own identity.
Yeah,
I guess.
He didn't want to be, you know,
he didn't want to
living,
give that up.
Walking in somebody else's darkness. You know?
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, that's, And but, as far as, like, Eric putting on Peter's makeup, yeah, I think it's weird.
I thought it was weird at first, but now I'm just so fucking
But still,
tired
again, it's such
debate.
An iconic.
It's like, right.
It's still an iconic makeup, anymore. You know, that. You know, if they were going back into the makeup, why try to create another face, you know, like Eric Carr or Vinnie Vincent, you know?
Yeah.
It's such an iconic face, you know, if they were all going to put the makeup back on, why not just
go
into the
original
makeup?
I mean, the thing is, though, is like, I don't want, like, posters of...
I mean, I don't want a poster of Eric
you know,
Singer
or like
and
a t-shirt.
Ace or the Peter Criss makeup, you know?
You know what I mean? I don't want a t-shirt with... With Tommy and Eric on it, really? You know what
well,
I mean?
I don't either,
I don't really
but
either,
still,
but
I mean,
I don't have a
that,
big problem
with
it like everybody
makeup,
else.
I don't either. I mean, they're
kind of indifferent.
I don't either. I mean, they totally rule. You know
they
what
sound
I mean?
Great.
They,
it's
especially
just,
on
they fill the shoes good, but
right,
it's still
totally.
Not the same. I don't, yeah.
I just get so tired of, you know, and people talk about it all the time, but it's like every little thing about Kiss on the fucking internet turns into. Blah, 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 Ace and Peter being disgraced by these guys in their makeup.
Yeah,
they're really
seen some of that.
You know, when it first happened, you know, almost 10 years ago or whatever, I was like, oh, I can't believe they fucking have Tommy and Ace's makeup. Fuck that shit. But it's like, all this time later, it's like, I don't care. I just don't care, dude. That's fine.
Yeah.
It's better than no Kiss, like you've said, you know, before. It's either you get Kiss or you don't. And I prefer to have in a world where there is a Kiss that I can go see still.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, still I really. Paul. I mean, I really want to take my kids to the next one.
Fuck yeah, dude! And without you know Tommy and Eric, you wouldn't be able to do that.
Right.
I don't think. But let me ask you guys this: do you think that in '96, had Eric Carr been alive, would he have been in the reunion, or would it still have been Peter? Or
I think maybe the venues might have been split.
Or do
you know,
think
to where
that
Peter was on part of the tour and then Eric was on the other half.
I don't
know. Like they kind of do with headlining shows. Yeah. You know,
or maybe they would have had Eric
for half the tour
Eric
and then they
and
get another
Peter's
band.
Makeup.
You know,
that would have been even weirder. Eric Carr and Peter's makeup.
Yeah, I mean.
That would have been creepy.
I think they would have used Peter everywhere except in Australia. In Australia, they would have brought Eric Carr.
Yeah.
You know, that's the Kiss that was huge in Australia.
Right.
But okay, so imagine Eric Carr didn't die, and then Peter Criss came back in the reunion. But then instead of bringing back Eric Singer, they bring back Eric Carr in the Fox makeup. That would have been cool, right?
Yeah.
I would have dug that.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
But then you still got somebody else as Ace, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
But dude, Tommy sounds just like him. He does the parts awesome.
You can debate that with all the members all day long. It's still not going to change the fact.
Yeah. All right. Well, next question is still coming from Ben Mitchell. It's the Ben Mitchell episode. I hope he listens to this shit. Well, this will be the one he forgets to listen
right.
to.
You'll have to send him a special letter.
Post it on his
not
wall.
Doing it again. Listen up.
Okay. He wants to know, are there any songs that you prefer the unplugged versions to the album? You know, the MTV Unplugged. I'd say yeah. Maybe not. Actually, I do kind of like the way they did See You Tonight. Sounds pretty fucking good on Unplugged. I don't know if I like it better than this solo album version or not, though.
It's been a while since I listened to that.
I think that Got to Choose is probably better than it is on Hotter Than Hell, but not as good as it is on Alive.
Right.
Because I prefer the Alive version to Hotter Than Hell anyway.
Alive.
So I might say that I would prefer the Got to Choose off Unplugged to Hotter Than Hell. Would you?
I don't know.
What about you, D-Rock?
It's been a while.
It's pretty good. That's kind of a hard question to ask, though, you know?
Yeah, I haven't watched that in a long time.
Yeah, I haven't either, but I can remember.
I can't even answer that question because I don't think I've ever even seen the Unplugged.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
It's pretty good. You should check it out. Let's see here. Oh, we got something coming from somebody else. This is from Jeff Ludban. And I think he's from Denver? Maybe?
Sweet.
From Colorado, somewhere, I think. But I could be wrong about that. He wants to know if we can go back in time again and get us some more soundboard recordings. Well, as it so happens, D-Rock's still working on the flux capacitor.
Yeah, we burned out the other one on the last trip.
We may have to use steam power.
Crap.
So we'll let you know about that. We'll keep you posted on that, Mr. Ludban.
I have to get it up to 88 miles an hour.
By steam.
Yeah.
On some edge of some fucking cliff. Let's see here. Denise Hubbs says, she says, no questions for me. She just wants to say she can't wait to hear this episode when it comes out.
Okay.
Right on.
Cool.
Hope you're enjoying
Thank
it then.
You.
Let's see here. Perry Sloan wants to know, have we ever thought about doing a segment where we find bands that did a cover of a Kiss song and say what we think about it? Dude, we do our own Kiss covers.
Yeah.
You need to tune in. They're at the end of most episodes, so I don't think we'll be doing that anytime soon.
Well, I get what he's saying. I mean...
Yeah, I mean...
I'm usually pretty critical of... I mean, there's a few people I've seen do Kiss well. And that's about it. I mean...
Yeah, I've heard a lot that I've really dug on, but...
Most of the ones that I do like are ones that have changed it a little bit or something.
Yeah,
like
kind of like how Faster Pussycat did what was that? I'm having a fucking brain fart. Yeah. I can't even think what the name of that goddamn song.
Well, I mean,
let me look it up.
I like I like the way we do it and pretty much stick to the their
original.
Yeah, because that's not what I want to do. I want to come as close as we can to the original stuff.
Exactly.
I get the whole thing about like changing it up a little bit, and I'm totally not opposed to that either.
Right.
Really,
that's more fun to try to capture what they did.
I want to record every song the original way, and then we'll start doing that shit or something.
It's like Faster Pussycat did I Was Made for Loving You.
Oh, yeah. You know? I don't know if I've heard that.
And they changed it up a bit,
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't ever heard that, I don't think.
Faster Pussycat style,
But then, I guess basically...
Like,
I guess,
that's how the guy sings.
Yeah. I guess...
Or Babylon or whatever.
That's... I forgot what I was going to say.
I don't know.
I just really don't have any interest on really having to sit back and listen and critique other bands playing other bands' music.
Well, I guess...
Especially when it comes to Kiss.
I guess what I'm saying is I haven't seen many cover bands or Kiss tribute bands that are all that great.
Well, they're killer live, but most of them don't record anything.
And most of them don't really... I like the ones
most of them aren't good enough to even record.
I like the ones that actually sound like Gene and Paul and
that's like Strutter, you know, that band.
Yeah.
You know,
I've seen right. a lot of different Pauls that were awesome, but it's hard to sound like Gene, dude. It's really hard to
I don't
do.
Know.
Yeah.
I think it's harder to sound like Paul myself. I don't know of, like, there's, like, I mean, I pretty much think that Gene wouldn't be that, isn't that hard at all, honestly.
No.
Well, Paul, sound, I would think Gene ends up sounding like, like the Hulk.
For somebody that's going to impersonate people, you know, I think Paul would be easier because he's got a niche that you got to try to get. And then once you get his niche and how he pronunciates his words, then it would be easy for somebody that impersonates people.
There's no one that sounds like Paul, really. I mean, I have not.
You'll never get anybody that sounds exactly like him.
Chris G sounds just like him, too.
Yeah, I've seen a couple.
There's a few people, dude.
That's like... seen a few, but not
many. This dude that was in Almost Kiss sounded pretty good.
But yeah, you're right. The Genes are always like growling. And shit. Like Gene does actually have.
Do you love me?
I mean, he does have parts that need to be there, and not all just.
Yeah.
You know, he does a lot of highs and stuff like that, and Peter did too back in the day.
Correct, sir. So. Let me ask you guys another question, so we don't run too long here. Keith Miller wants to know, why doesn't drummer Metel Cohen do any drumming videos of Kiss? He's asked him many times with no reply. He's just wondering.
Huh?
I don't know. I would have to say I have no idea who
Metel
Cohen
is
and if he why he doesn't do any kind of drumming videos of Kiss. No clue. I don't know.
Huh.
That's my answer to that one.
Wow.
Sorry, okay. Keith, man. I have no idea what the hell you're talking about. I mean, you know, go further. Explain further, please.
I mean,
thanks.
You can get on YouTube and pretty much, you know, watch any. I mean, there is somebody on there teaching
like
the original drum lessons on any Kiss song you can imagine, probably.
Yeah.
So,
but he's looking for by a certain guy, apparently. But anyhow, Danny Silvers, you guys know about Danny Silvers, don't you?
Yes.
He wants us to pick our favorite one song from every Kiss album. And,
What are we waiting for?
Yeah. There's a little stipulation. No, you know, nothing off the frickin' best ofs or anything.
I don't even think we could really do that. That'd take too long.
Well, we could do it quick fire. If we're going to do it, we're going to do it real quick, and it's going to go like this. What's your favorite song off the first Kiss album? Mine's 100,000 Years, you know?
Yeah, 100,000 Years.
I think D-Rock said on our review of that his was Black Diamond.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hotter Than Hell, my favorite song is probably, fuck, I don't know. I don't want to go down the whole list. That's going to take us too long.
Strange Ways is on
Hotter Than Hell. Yeah. My favorite song on Hotter Than Hell's Got to Choose.
Yeah,
except I like the Alive version, so it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
What about
so
you?
Just, I got to choose.
I think
that's what I would say too.
Dress to Kill. I'm talking Anything for My Baby or Love Her All I Can. I don't want to go down.
Love Her All I Can.
It's gonna take too long.
Love
we can't.
Can.
We'll,
yeah.
We'll.
No,
sure.
We only got three more.
He wants all the albums.
Every album.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. That's gonna take a while. All
right. Too long.
How about
maybe
three?
We'll dedicate an album.
We're done.
Yeah.
All
right. Maybe we'll do an episode that covers that
covers
for
that
you, Dan.
Question.
Right.
But as for now, I'm gonna keep it on rolling.
So what are our first three again? Watching You.
Watching You is pretty good.
100,000 Years.
I like 100,000
Years. Black Diamond.
Got to Choose. I like Anything for My Baby a whole lot.
Right. First three albums.
Yeah. Yeah, so maybe next time we'll go to the next three.
Or Alive.
Right. George Savastano wants to know, seeing how Kiss sells a lot of DVDs, should there be a classic album DVD on, say, the Destroyer album, where they go in a studio with members and Bob Ezrin and make Dick Wagner and talk about the tracks? I'd love to see it.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
On any of the albums, that would be awesome to be able to see some of that process.
Like a making of.
Like VH1 did the one about Alive. It's pretty cool. But, you know, do it about any other album. I'll watch it. In a heartbeat. But I would rather, instead of knowing more about, I'd rather see one about the Elder. Just because you don't really see much about that, you know. It'd be cool to see them in the studio trying to reason out why they should do Just a Boy and shit.
What's the whole strategy here?
Right. See them
and then, like,
yeah,
not getting along and all that stuff. Tension. That would be That would be cool to see all that real shit, you know?
Right.
Yes.
All right, so here's another question coming from George, and he wants to know, what do you think is Kiss's most underrated album? Most underrated album by Kiss?
I would say Dress to Kill.
I don't think it's underrated. I think people know it's awesome. Don't you? I mean, that's not considered an underrated album, is it?
I don't know. Is it?
I don't know. If I'm going to say what's the most underrated Kiss album, I'm thinking, you know, like one that most people think sucks, but you think's awesome. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to go with Unmasked.
You know? I would agree with that.
I really like Unmasked, and, you know, no, everyone else kind of thinks it sucks, you know? So that, to me, is underrated. I don't know. Dress to Kill may be underrated. Everyone's always praising, like, Destroyer, but you don't hear a whole lot of Dress to Kill praise.
Right.
So I guess it's underrated. So, yeah, Dress to Kill's super awesome. It's my favorite. So, I don't know. But, yeah.
Even Alive 2 is pretty underrated, and that was, like, my first album.
Yeah. You think it's... See, I don't look at any of those as underrated. When I think of underrated Kiss albums...
I guess it's not, because that was when they were in their fucking...
Yeah, in the prime.
Yeah, they were exploding.
When I'm thinking underrated, I'm thinking, you know, the ones that didn't sell too well. You know,
yeah,
like
the first one.
Dynasty. Or, you know, Unmasked. The Elder's underrated. George says Creatures is underrated.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't say Creatures is underrated, because everyone seems to fucking love it, you know?
Yeah, it was weird. I mean, I didn't...
I don't like it as much as everyone else does. Don't get me wrong, I like Creatures of the Night, but it's not their best album.
I never realized that it was as big as it was until I was a lot older. And I'd...
Right.
So
a lot of those Kiss fans, their whole thing is Creatures and Revenge, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I knew it was huge in Australia, but, I mean, dude, there's a lot of American music that is huge beyond belief in other countries.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you go to South America... Like
anything American.
Yeah, like Skid Row is filling a freaking stadium.
Yeah,
you know
Striper,
what I'm saying?
Any of those bands.
So it's like, you know, I had seen, you know, we've all seen the Australian footage from
right.
Creatures of the Night tour and stuff, and it was like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's
it
awesome.
Was just a sea of people.
300,000 people.
And so.
I don't think Creatures is underrated. That's all you ever hear about is Creatures and Revenge.
Well, a lot of people, like... I don't know. Maybe it was... I guess it was bigger than I ever realized it was. Because,
right.
like... I hear people talk about it, too. And I'm like, man, I didn't...
People like when Kiss tries to be all heavy. That's what it boils down to. You know, they like their band to finally be a little heavy. You know? I just personally like the other shit better. I like... Revenge is one of my least favorite albums, you know?
Yeah.
And I got it when it was new and played the hell
right.
out of it, just
yeah,
like you did.
Too.
But looking back on it, I never pull that one out to listen to,
yeah,
ever.
Yeah, I don't
ever.
Either. It's...
We're going to have to do our little round table on Revenge, and it'll be shocking because we don't worship it like everybody else does.
Yeah.
You know? I just don't...
Well, I guess it's... You know, I think it probably has to do with, like, people who got into, like, the later Kiss first.
I think what it has to do with is all through the 80s, all the Kiss fans like us and the people that were a little bit older than us couldn't stand that their favorite band looked so fucking uncool. And then all of a sudden they finally put out something that was a little bit more contemporary. Their look was a little more contemporary with the modern bands. And they didn't have to feel so
Gene
goofy about being a Kiss fan.
The mustache
yeah.
and the goatee.
I mean, I honestly believe that.
Yeah, yeah, I get what you're saying.
I couldn't, you know... This is like when the Revenge came out, it's like you wouldn't play like Asylum to your buddies who were listening to, you know, Slayer and shit. You might play them Revenge. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Right. I don't know.
South of Heaven, check these
check
guys.
Check
out
this fucking number,
right.
dude.
What is that glitter blouse thing he's wearing?
Right. Yeah, it's like, hey, dude, you think that fucking South of Heaven's heavy? Let's check out this fucking secret crew.
Yeah.
It's just, I think that the people that really love Revenge is because it finally Kiss looked decent.
Yeah.
You know? And it's more the look than it is those fucking songs.
Right.
So all those songs fucking suck, man. I'll go ahead and say it. You know,
dude,
I'm not a revenge
yeah,
lover.
Yeah, like spit. You know,
it's fucking corny, dude. It's terrible.
I just prefer to to see the old stuff. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, that's me. I'm stuck on the early Kiss.
I mean, I think, I want to go see them in concert and stuff like that. It's not to hear these new songs that they're...
No.
You know,
to relive something in your youth.
I don't care anything about hearing anything off of Monster when I see him live. I don't.
Right.
Yeah. I could care less.
Yeah.
I want to hear old shit.
Yeah.
I want to hear I Stole Your Love. I want to hear Cold Gin.
Right.
I want to hear Duke Strutter.
Yeah.
You know.
I could do without Cold Gin, but yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, I
could. You want the original wave of Kiss shit. Looks like everybody does.
Yeah, I mean, I you know, other than going to see them in concert, I could care less if they ever put out another album.
Yeah, me either.
Ever, unless it's
old shit.
This old studio.
They dug up.
Old stuff, old videos, old.
Exactly.
Old audio.
And video from in the day. That's all we need.
Yeah. So.
All right. Let me ask you another question and guess who this one's coming from. Any guesses? Ben Mitchell.
Yeah.
Yeah, another one. What would Gene and Paul say about Sonic Boom if you played it for them while they were in the process of recording The Elder?
I would say Sonic Boom Goes Dynamite. No, I don't know.
I would think they'd say, what the fuck happened to us, man? You know?
Yeah.
I think they'd be like, the fuck is this?
You know? Yeah, I'm sure they were like...
That was like I mean,
there's a few of those songs on there I like, you know what I mean?
I can't tell you a single song on Sonic Boom besides the modern day whatever it
I mean,
was.
Not was Sonic, it? Not Sonic Boom, The Elder.
Or was that off the Monster? Great.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few songs I like off
but what
the
would
Elder
Gene and Paul say about the album in the time frame of when they were recording The Elder? Well, they'd probably say, wow, it actually has good, you know, it's pretty heavy compared to, it's, I don't know, it's probably heavier than The Elder, wouldn't you say? I don't know. I've only listened to it one time.
No, I don't think
that's
is.
Like
I bought that
too.
CD at Walmart just because I was like, oh, cool, Kiss. You know, I got to have the new Kiss album.
Yeah, I just bought it.
One time
it
through,
Kiss.
Shelved it. Never opened it since.
I don't even think I've listened to the whole thing. I pulled out the Classics CD.
Yeah, I like that better than the actual Sonic Boom.
You know, but I didn't even listen to the whole Sonic Boom CD all the way through.
It's just not that great, man. I don't know. If you were young, it might be, though. Like, if that was your Kiss and you're, you know, 12 years old when that came out.
Yeah, I mean, I really think they ought to start releasing, like, studio audio, video, like, stuff that we haven't seen, man. That's what I, you know. And just keep touring. Don't make new albums. I don't care, personally.
I don't either.
I mean, because, like you said...
They don't sell either.
If I do get them, I mean, like you said, they're going on... I might listen to them one time and...
Right.
Have it just to have it, you know?
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, it just fills that spot on the shelf where it belongs.
It's just another part of the collection,
decorations,
you know?
Yeah. It keeps its place in the collection, you know, or whatever, but...
All right, I got to keep rolling on these questions. We're going to run out of time here, fellas.
Okay.
This is coming from our boy Craig Smith, Pods and Sods. I always dig that show. Craig Smith.
Shibby.
Right. He wants to know, what songs should Kiss drop from the set and what should they add? You know, there's a million. I don't even know how you answer that.
I
would drop everything that they've been playing forever. Detroit Rock City.
Yeah, and redo
Rock
it like
all
they
night.
Did,
I'd
you
drop
know, on the
fucking,
Kiss cruise.
Yeah, and just play shit.
Yeah, pull out the shit that they've never played live before, you know.
Well, at least stuff that they haven't played in, you know.
Right.
Play like Rock Bottom,
Rock
Watching
Bottom,
You.
Watching You.
I Want You.
Come On, Love Me, I Stole Your Love.
Yeah.
And then plus songs they never have done.
Yeah.
Like, it was badass on that cruise when they were doing Almost Human. Anything for My Baby.
Any of that
you
stuff.
Know. It'd be cool, anything... I would just say I'm just tired of hearing the same old shit, just like every other Kiss
fan. It would be sweet if they...
You've come to expect it, but I'm tired of expecting Detroit Rock City. I'm tired of expecting Rock and Roll All Night.
Yeah, it's like, you sit there and you can say, I bet they're going to do this song, and this song for their encore. And sure enough, here they come out, and that's what they do.
But see, I always think about it from the other side. Kiss is probably thinking, man, what about those people who've never seen us live? We should give them what we think is the best shit from our, you know.
From when
and they
were
think that's the
on
best
top
shit.
Of their game, you know.
I think they want to try to recreate what worked in the past, you know. So that's why they're still doing Love Gun. They're still doing... You got to have
Rock
certain
and roll
songs.
All night.
You got to have Black Diamond. You got to have... I mean, realistically, you gotta have Rock and Roll Night. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
they could change a lot. But they never are going to. So
yeah, I mean, and the shows are getting like shorter and shorter in time too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The Podfather Ken Mills says, "Well, it's not so much a question, but he just wants us to know that when he listens, he always smiles and thanks for being amazing." Right on, Podfather.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Jeff Ludman has another question for us. He wants some advice about playing Kiss songs in standard tuning. He's not smart enough to tune down a E flat. My advice is, dude, just tune down. It's a half
buy
step.
Buy a tuner. You can get a cool get a one snark. That fits on your headboard. Yeah. Your headstock for like $20.
Strange Ways uses snarks.
Did he say?
Because we want the best.
Did he say he wasn't smart enough?
Yeah, that's what he said. I wouldn't
say
that.
Well, then he's probably not smart enough to buy
a
tuner.
Damn.
That'd be it all me. No, I didn't say that.
Just messing with
you,
brother.
If you can't get a tuner, then just put your fucking... hold down the fourth fret on your low E string and tune your open A to that. That's the easiest way to tune down a half step. And then tune the rest of your strings to that. Piece of cake. Otherwise, get a snark. You know, tune an E flat. Piece of cake. Anyways, next question's coming from Andrew Kiss. First of all, he's wondering if you can add a second question. Of course you can. That's the answer to that. And it says, when you're doing your covers, what model amps and guitars do you generally use? Can't wait for the new episode. Basically, we always use a Marshall Governor and then a Les Paul of some sort. That's the guitar tone. If you want to sound like Kiss, you just gotta... the key is don't use a whole lot of gain. You know, most heavy metal guitar players want to have
clean, but a
shit ton
bit
of gain. Put your gain at like 3 or 4 and a lot of mids. A lot of people scoop the mids out. Have your mids at least at 12 o'clock, you know? And not that much gain, and it'll sound like Kiss. That's my, that's how I do it.
That's great dirty advice. Bass.
Right.
DIY.
Always use dirty bass.
Dirty bass, that's the other secret to getting the Kiss sound.
It's that, you know, you gotta have it a may sound dirty, like distorted crap when bass. You're just playing a bass, but when you listen to it with the music, the bass comes out
it actually
clean,
takes
it
those
really
cleaner guitars and
up.
Fattens them up. Yeah. That's how Kiss got that sound.
It fills it up.
And that's the big secret to the Kiss.
Well, at least that's my secret to the Kiss sound.
Well, that's what they did.
And that's what we do, and that's what you should do as well.
Like, when you hear his, like...
You gotta figure those are old Marshalls that didn't have a lot of gain, and then the amp, is the bass is just turned up so loud that it is overdriving.
Right.
Yeah, that's the secret.
But, yeah, I mean, when he's, like, spitting blood and he's doing the bass thing, that's not just some effect that they do
that's
for him
just
spitting
it's
blood.
So loud.
That's what his bass sounds like.
Yeah. And you can't tell as much when the guitars are playing.
Right.
Okay. So it's been a pretty cool episode. We got one more question that's coming from our boy Matt Porter. And he just basically said, how did we all meet and all that? So we're going to give a condensed version. But me and Clinton have known each other since about kindergarten.
Yeah.
And we were always friends all through the years. And then I moved away shortly, came back, and found out that Clinton was way into Kiss because my friend Mike Kilgore had said, dude, he saw my Kiss shit. And he's like, Clinton's a big Kiss freak too. I was like, really? Cool. So I called Clinton, and I rode my bike over to his house in the middle of the summer, which is about maybe 5 miles or so.
Yeah. No, actually, it's like 7.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I rode my bike 7 miles. I think my mom picked me up, or your mom took me home. I don't think I would have rode back home after that.
I had just gotten a guitar, too.
Yeah, an Electra. I remember that.
Yeah.
And I already played guitar. And,
I just had some crappy amp, though. I didn't have a good amp at all.
I remember that, too.
It's a turd.
So this is, I guess, the summer before 8th grade. I come back, me and Clinton bond over Kiss, and we just stayed friends forever after that. And then eventually, I guess it would have been freshman year, we had a band, and that's how we met D-Rock, because somehow D-Rock, you tell that story, D-Rock.
Well, I knew their bass player, Charlie, because I grew up with him. And, some friends that I was hanging out with knew you guys, you know, and so I went over to one of their band practices,
right?
You know, to hear them because I knew Charlie, and Clinton wasn't there that time, and I don't know what Joe Roy's deal was, but their drummer Joe, but I wasn't trying to step on anybody, but he was just like, he heard me singing along with the Kiss songs because Clinton wasn't there singing. He's like, dude, you should come back and try out, you know, whatever. joke. You know, and so I went home and learned Death Angel's version of
Cold Gin.
And I show up, and then Clinton was there, but right. Joe wanted me to get up and sing it anyway, because I went through the trouble of cramming all night, learning how to sing this song.
Right.
It was like, I didn't know Clinton. I wasn't trying to step on his toes or nothing.
Right.
You know, and...
It just doesn't make any sense, though, that Joe would be like, come try out, because it didn't matter if you would have been, like, the best singer in the world. There's no way I was ever going to be in a band right. without Clinton.
Well,
that's my kindergarten motherfucker,
you know? I didn't
know
that know? Joe had turmoil about it, you know?
It's crazy,
I just thought it was cool coming to hang out with you guys,
right.
you know? To me, it was my first time getting up and singing with a band, so I didn't really give a shit either way.
Right.
You know?
And yeah, it sounded pretty good.
This is all news to me. I'm fucking pissed.
Right. I was thinking, we were talking about it. I was like, Joe is trying to fucking replace Clinton? What the fuck?
Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah, it would have never happened.
I did feel that at the time that, like, D-Rock was trying to come in and, like...
Swoop your gig
and
shit.
Steal my spot
and that
like
wasn't
that.
It at all.
And so, like, that explains that, you
right.
know what I mean?
Fucking
it was just misinformed, you know. Yeah. I was told one thing, and you're led to believe another, you
right.
know. But we all became friends, because we'd start hanging out and smoking and...
Yeah,
smoking weed, drinking beer on the weekends at Joe's house, and I'd secretly order pizza and shit, and Jody and Clinton and Joe and I would go outside and sit on the front porch where nobody else could see us and sit there and eat Domino's.
Fucking Joe Roy.
You know, but then Clinton, you know, finally realized that I wasn't trying to take his place or nothing. I was just making friends, you know. And,
And then you started following our bands around even after that band.
Yeah.
Because
Joe didn't last in that band very long after that.
Right.
We got Tim. I guess Tim was the next drummer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Grossman.
Wish he would have worked out. He's a good drummer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you guys got
lazy,
that
though,
dude that was in the movie.
Couldn't
Glory.
Even play more than like two songs Scott. In a row without needing a break. It's like, dude, you'll never play a gig if you can't play more than two songs
I'm not
in
sure.
a row.
I think he's just was spoiled, man.
Oh, yeah. Grossman was, spoiled? Yeah. Come on.
He's not
never.
Like that anymore.
No, man. But back then, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny listening to him talk about like, you know, people that don't work and stuff
right.
like that. Like,
yeah, no, well, he's a working man
yeah,
these days, finally.
He figured it out.
Right.
But,
yeah,
you know,
so
unfortunately.
So basically, even I think that you started taking lessons from me.
Yeah,
and like,
well, that's how I met you.
Yeah, like
you
on
know,
a personal level.
I used to pay you $10 for a half hour.
Yeah, guitar lessons.
I'd bring
years
over
ago
that old beat up Apollo guitar that was supposed to look like a Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Yeah,
you know, and then I had.
I
that
thought you had that Explorer looking guitar.
That little
guitar.
Gorilla amp.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, then I had that Explorer, that blue one.
Yeah, so we've been friends years and years now, and
have
we just,
been
we
through lots of
lots of crazy
hilarious,
shit.
crazy
shit.
Silly shit here and there, too.
Right.
It's all...
That's what happens, man.
Good
we've
times.
Had a lifetime of
good times.
Yeah,
friendship
so,
here,
mean,
you know?
What are we talking now, like...
Years.
35 years almost.
Yeah.
We've known each other.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Most people
well,
don't.
Only like 22 for me and you.
Yeah.
You know, because high
that's
school.
That's still a lot.
Yeah. That's still a hell of a long time. A lot of people aren't friends
time.
With people
it's
they knew
our
in kindergarten.
Lifetime, you know?
You know, like.
Right.
Like, it's kind of rare that you and I are still so tight, you know,
yeah.
after knowing each other since fucking kindergarten.
Yeah.
You know,
I
it's crazy.
I don't know.
And
me.
Awesome. I love
and I started I mean, I out a preppy little freshman wearing Eastlands with my legs, pant legs all tight rolled, and now I'm all fucking tatted out and shit.
Yeah,
you were a ninja back then, weren't you?
Yeah, but I can't meet the state requirements anymore. You gotta be licensed to be a ninja. Now,
right.
You know? No, I only have one leg. I can't meet the physical
can't pass
requirements.
The ninja bar anymore. Like.
Dude,
but yeah,
discrimination.
Right.
The bar exam.
Yeah, we've just been friends for a long time, and we've all played music together, and we still do that kind of thing. And speaking of, we don't have any Kiss covers lately because we've all been fucking busy, but we're going to get back on that this year, and we're going to make a bunch of really cool Kiss covers for you out there, Kiss Army. But for now, I think since this episode's coming to a close, since we're talking old times and how we met, Clinton and I recorded this band that we were just talking about that D-Rock tried to steal Clinton's gig on. Was called Misconduct, right? And years after that band had broken up, this is when Clinton and I were in, we started that band in 8th grade, I guess, at the tail end of 8th grade, and it lasted for a while. But and eventually it broke up and we moved on to different bands, but in like 99, I got my first music studio, and the first project was we're going to record all the old Misconduct shit. So I got in touch with Clinton and Charlie, and we did the Misconduct shit and a bunch of Kiss covers that you've heard, our version of Deuce and some of the other ones, I Stole Your Love,
Flaming Youth.
I think we've played a lot of them on the covers episode. But anyway, we don't have any new Kiss cover, but we do have some of this old school Misconduct, so we're going to play a little bit of that right now.
If it feels good.
All right, that was a little bit of Misconduct. What do you think about that?
It's awesome.
It's pretty crazy.
Those guys rule.
To think that we wrote those songs like literally at 14 years old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're pretty sophisticated considering the fact that we were little babies. But like we said, it was recorded a little bit. You know, we were probably 20 when we recorded that. 21 even maybe.
No.
So. Well, it was in 99, whatever that... It was years after the fact, so I could personally play it 10 times better by then.
Yeah, I think I. So, it seems like
it was 92. You guys were over 21.
Yeah, it seems like we were about. It seems like I was about 26.
I don't know how old you would have been, but it was a long time
25.
Ago. It was way after the fact.
Yeah, it's been a long time ago.
Misconduct. So that's why you could hear me fucking shredding like I couldn't when I was 14. You know.
Right.
And Clinton sings better than he did at 14 on this recording, obviously. You know, but hope you liked it. And
I didn't do shit.
Right. You just stay tuned out there, because homie, we've got a whole new year of strange ways coming at you. And we just want to say thanks for listening again. And once again, I'm Jody Havnup.
This is Clanton.
This is D-Rock.
Sayonara, motherfuckers.
Thanks.
All right, Kiss Army. That's another episode of Strange Ways going down in the books. We hope you really enjoyed it as much as we did doing it. We always have a good time doing these things, and we hope that you really like listening to them. Thanks again for listening. Stay tuned, and we want to invite you to join us on Podomatic, iTunes, Facebook, Stitcher. Dude, just Google it. You'll find us. Anyways, thanks again for listening, and as Ace might say,
keep on rocking.
Got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world.
Kiss!
It's your place for all things Kiss and some. For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Sometimes you don't sound like you're kidding. You know, there's a lot of people around.
I mean, I'm only kidding with you. We're having a party. I mean, I just came home. I haven't seen you in a long time, and I'm breaking your balls, and you're, you're getting fucking fresh. I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend you.
I'm sorry, too. It's okay. No problem.
Okay, sell them. I'll go home and get your fucking
copy of Crazy Nights.
Motherfucking mother!
History Science Theater. We bust balls because we can. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and all over the place.
It's time for some cheap talk. You're listening to Trick Chat.
Their mommies all right, their daddies are all right, they just seem a little weird. They even got their Kiss records out. This is Ken from the Podkiss. Join me, Matt, Andrew, and BJ as we talk about four great guys and three great chords. Cheap Trick. If you're a Kiss fan, chances are you've checked them out. So please check out our show, Cheap Talk with Trick Chat, available for now in the Podkiss feed.
Keep cheap tricking.
I'm afraid I've given you all the time I can spare at the moment, my dear. You'll have to come back. Thank you, and goodbye.